Acts 26, we're still studying repentance. And this is when Paul was in big trouble and he was testifying before, I think, Agrippa.
Yeah.
So go start in verse 12. Yeah, Agrippa. He had talked about his... his life before conversion and how he, you know, all of the harm he did to the way. And then, well, let's just read that a little bit. In verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme and bring exceedingly mad against, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now we don't know how many believers were put to death by him, but we know there were many. Now just imagine his mindset after his conversion. And just imagine the believers' mindset after
that. Yeah. There's this crazy man.
Well, it's almost like, it's not quite as bad, but it's something, you know, something like some crazy dictator in South America that killed everybody. But anyway, verse 12, whereas I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And now we know that word, kick against the pricks, it's better translation is to resist the divine impulse. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, God. I think I need glasses. And Jesus is talking. He said, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Do you see that? The incredible thing, the things that he has seen, which was Jesus just then, and the things in the which, not of all the goodies and everything, but of the things in which thou appeared unto me. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
It was in which I will appear unto thee.
That's interesting. Position Paul or Saul finds him in, because he knew he was the best there was on the law and Torah and everything.
Well, and then
to encounter the fulfillment of everything he was about and knew was lightning bolt.
Yeah, it was like an atomic bomb going off in his head.
Yeah.
delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet or suitable for repentance. There we have this thing. They should repent and then turn to God. That's a biggie. We always want it to be to turn to God and then repent. But you can't do that. As I said yesterday, no act of God with regard to your becoming a believer has ever been effected without first repentance. That's a big deal. Showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet or suitable for repentance. Now, the works suitable for repentance is everything we've talked about lately. It's seeing as Job's song, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now when I see it thee, and I abhor myself. Or in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Vanity there, as you know, doesn't mean to look in the mirror. It means it's a puff of smoke. Meaningless. All right, go to Acts 26. No, we just started, never mind. Finally, where I wanted to be for a long time, go to Revelation chapter 2.
So basically, our life has meaning if we're fully repentant.
No, his life has meaning if you're fully repentant.
His life has meaning if we're fully repentant.
You're dead.
We're dead.
Verse chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them to say they were apostles, and are not, and found them liars, and is born, and hast patience for my name's sake. Oh, God. For my name's sake, thou hast labored, or hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of thy place, out of his place, except thou repent. But this thing thou hast, that thou hatest, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You've fallen, you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Let's go on down to the message to the church of Thyatira. Thyatira. In verse 18. Now to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, whom calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Remember, fornication with Jezebel or with the whore, you believe both Hosea, fornication means going somewhere else with the necessities of your life other than God, which means just be a normal person. Right? All right. Let's see if we can see some more. We're still in two. And we can do that. Let's go to Revelation 3. To the church of Sardis. Now, what are all these churches? The seven churches.
The original Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist thing.
No, there are types of all the churches. You can see, no matter what you read, you can see that church in those messages. That is really loud. That was off all night. Anyway, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. Now again, the angel, Gary, is the angel of the church at Buckner's. I'm serious. That's what they're called. This isn't an angel flying around in heaven. This is whoever is the leader of that Seder group. And these are seven types. All right. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and thou hast liveth, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardi, which have not defiled their garments. And they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now this has no meaning if you're looking at all this as a, something that's going to happen in the future, or something that happened in the past, or these other people. It only has meaning when you see that each of these seven letters, these seven churches, are us. Yeah. Otherwise, this can be ignored. Amen?
Was there any church you liked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go look at it. Yeah, there's one. In verse 14, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful. No, this isn't it. Never mind. Where is it? Which is a good one? I used to know these things. Yeah, it's the angel of the church at Philadelphia, which I would have had any sense, but I've known it from the meaning of Philadelphia.
Yeah. What number is that?
It's verse 7. It's,
yeah, chapter 3, verse 7. The message to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So that's... To the other churches, it's always repent, repent, repent. Let's go to 1 John. Let's start in verse 15. We're going to go for a ways.
Where do we start?
1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that is that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. There's no issue of saying these words. You deny that Jesus is the Christ by just the normal things that people do. He is the Christ. This is the age of Messiah. This is the 1,000-year reign in Revelation 20. This is the last time. This is the last mercy of God to be shown. Now, that's not what we're studying, but anyway, I got sidetracked again. Okay, let's 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You have need that no man teach you. I haven't taught anybody anything except to repent. I hope. Does anybody believe this? You have need that no man teach you? There's no private interpretation of Scripture. Is the father position. You have need that no man teach you.
There's milk, where others have studied.
Well, for your milk, you get carnal. So.
A young believer is all that is.
No, it means you're just a hunk of meat. You're yet carnal. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians 3. Go there. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto thee as unto spirituals, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, or hear it, I mean. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, or I am another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Etc., etc. He's talking to adults that he's saying that you are still carnal. He's talking to those that think they are adults. He's being,
I thought it was baby believers.
No, carnal is of meat.
Yeah. But it's interesting he equates that with your carnal, even as of the babes in Christ. So it's like, is there something?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is the beginning, but he's chiding them because they're still acting as babies when they say, think they're adults.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we can spend the rest of time talking about repentance, but that's probably, we'll go back to Luke as the Lord wills, but please bring forth fruit necessary or suitable meat for repentance. But that's not some action, it's some everything. Everything you do, bring forth meat that's suitable for repentance. Everything you think, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Test it to see whether or not it stands. Let we're back to this thing. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. If any man speak, let him speak. It's from the oracle of God. There he's talking about speaking and thinking. Put on the full armor of God.
Yeah.
Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. If you're not, there's no answer except repentance. And if you can't, again, as I've said so often, if you don't think you can do that, then say, I don't think I can do that, Father. I've got to do what I'm doing. I don't know what else to do. But never, ever, ever justify anything other than faith. Faith is even justified by its, I mean, it's
justifies
itself. And again, you remember you are the peculiar, the I am people. There's no modifiers to your name and your, it's I am. You're the feminine, the verb form of I, of the I am verb. That's what it means when you're peculiar. You are a peculiar people. And just after he said that, he said you own all things. All things exist for your sake. All things have happened for your sake. All these things are necessary for repentance. That which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past for repentance. All right? Take it, big guy.